Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I just want to thank everybody for listening. The last time we was on the air, we had a tremendous listening audience, and I'm excited today. I'm excited about what's going on in the National Football League. Well, now we can say that these people are now taking a stand that they have never taken before, and I'm excited. Maybe this will teach people to understand the importance of standing together, fighting together. When we fight together, we win. I don't care nothing about those statues or whatever. I don't care anything about that. Because if I'm going to protest the Confederate flag, I got to protest the red, white, and blue. I can only think about the red, white, and blue with all the blood on it, the Native Americans, how they slaughtered the Native Americans. And they're going to continue to do what they do because they're hiding from the truth. I'm excited today. And I have on a tremendous guest, a person who I love dearly. She's a soldier, she's a fighter, and she's running for U.S. Senate. And those of you who are out there, I want you to listen to her, and I'm asking you to vote for her. But take your time, let's do it. Let's bring in Anita Bell.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you well.
Hello,
you doing,
Reverend
Anita?
Pinkney.
How
I'm
you doing today?
Excellent. Thank you. Oh, I'm doing excellent. Just excellent.
And you know, that is great news because it's important for people to understand what you stand for. And you are a person who is fighting for reparations and also clean water, election injustice, high-tech jobs, legalizing marijuana, Medicare for all, and to protect the planet, and social justice. These are values that is so important to today. But I'm going to let you talk to the people. I'm going to let you take the time out, and you can spend as much time as you like talking about different things.
Oh,
talk
wow.
to me today.
Okay. Well, one of the main things I thought some of your listeners might be interested in talking about would be on reparations and legalization of marijuana. And some people would say, why would you put those two things in the same sentence? And let's start off with where we are and go to where we should be. What happens with marijuana and with other drugs is that these drugs are made illegal in order to mass incarcerate people of color. So I don't want to say it's just black people, but there are some people who are Latino, Hispanic, or as I like to call them, the Spanish Native Americans or the Spanish indigenous people, people who are indigenous in areas of North America and Central and South America that were conquered by the Spanish and the Portuguese. So these are the people who are also being caught up in this so-called war on drugs. And because these people are being incarcerated, and just like people of African descent, then that winds up causing all of us to have a need for reparations. But the reparations that we're talking about right now are the ones for people of African descent.
Absolutely, and you know, I agree with you 100% on that. And it's a fight that we are going to have to get up and fight about. Thinking about reparations and different things like that is truly, truly, truly important. And you know, and we need the green voice in this nation. Can you explain why we need the green voices in this nation? The Green Party is. I'm always excited about the Green Party because I also is a member of the Green Party. So I'm really overwhelmed to understand your position, and we need to get out there and vote for Anita. Tell us why we need green voices in this nation.
All right. The difference, there's many differences between the Green Party, Democrats, and Republicans. One way that we're different is that Green Party candidates do not accept political contributions from corporations. That means that we're not bought and we're not selling our votes on various legislation. We're not selling our position. This allows us to represent the people who elect us and not the people who line our pockets. Because one of the things that you may notice as a parent, and I notice as a parent also, that we tell our kids, my pay, my say. The same thing happens with a corporation that's actually making a very large donation to political candidates, whether it's through political action committees called PACs and other various means, that they are saying the same as you would, a parent would say to a child, my pay, my say. So that means they're paying for a vote. We don't want that type of thing to go on. It winds up having government by the highest bidder. And for those of you who may not be able to afford to bid more than a corporation, then that means even though you may be the majority, this allows a very wealthy minority to impose fascism and otherwise be a dictator over us. So
absolutely,
it's part of a grassroots democracy. Yes, it's part of grassroots democracy to be able to say that if the people, if the majority rules, as is, if the majority is electing a representative, so that that way that representative is then voting on laws according to the wishes of the constituency that representative represents, then we're no longer bought and sold. We're no longer, politicians will not become puppets for corporations. So that's
absolutely
one major difference.
Amen.
There
there are others, and quite a few others that's truly important. It also says you're going to be focused on solving problems that Michiganders face by bringing space age jobs to Michigan. How do you plan to do that?
All right. The first way is the most simplest way is to make sure that we can be attractive to an agency, a federal agency like NASA, and that way we would be able to allow those type of organizations to come to Michigan. Let me be blunt, if I can, on your show. We have corporations that are in California. Oh, okay. Two corporations that are in California, or at least on the West Coast, maybe not both in California, would be SpaceX and Blue Horizon. These are private companies, one owned by Elon Musk, the other owned by Jeff Bezos, and maybe they don't own technically, but these are the leaders of those two corporations, and they will be providing space travel within 5 years. SpaceX plans on having it where you can take a vacation now on Mars using their spacecraft to travel back and forth to Mars. Those type of jobs, building that type of spacecraft in all of the factories that we have that are now abandoned here in Michigan, we can let those jobs, if that's going to be a new industry, we can do that here in Michigan. We can build those types of things here in Michigan. We have the manufacturing capability. We have plenty of people who want a job. So those are the types of jobs we should attract.
Well, and I agree 100%. Let me ask you, since you're in Detroit, General Motors, I believe Ford Motors is also located in Detroit, and other automotive plants. How would you approach them in order to get them to start hiring minorities?
Well, one of the things that you do, of course, is diversification. And what we have to be as a state is diversified. We're looking into just traveling by car, and that whole industry may be turning into something, it's transforming into something where now the cars are supposed to be self-driving. In Detroit, as you might tell, I'm driving along, and I am on a road where now on streets that never had them before, they are placing bicycle lanes. This is not just because people are no longer going to be driving in cars, that, oh, we decided that bicycling is now going to be a nice little sport, and people need to take lanes of roads away from cars in order for bicycles because people are exercising. That's not what's going on at all. There is going to be a shift from human beings driving themselves, that the luxuries we enjoy now of being able to drive ourselves may not be something that is planned for in the future. One thing you have to understand, any people have to understand, is that if you do not plan for yourself, others will plan for you. That if you just wake up and think, oh, I'm just going to live day by day and take life as it comes, you need to have more of a plan than that because others will plan for you. And so part of the plan can be that there will not be individual cars on the road. That's going to rearrange the auto industry. There has to be something put in its place or more people, not just blacks, but more people, period, will be unemployed.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, we really, really need you, and a lot of times people don't understand. But I do want to talk about this health care. They're trying to throw out Obamacare as we speak right now with a program that's almost worthless. And I was listening to them today on CNN and how they was talking about how, you know, 30 million people will not have health insurance if this passes. They're only two votes. I believe they're two votes short right now. Well, two no's right now that's not going to vote for it. And all they need is one more no, and it'll fail. But the Senator Collins is right now straddling the fence. How would you deal with this? What would be your plan when it comes to health care and stuff like that?
Well, I love President Obama, but one of the things that I have to say about the Obamacare plan is that it still allows insurance companies to make a profit off of medical. And when you think some things have to either be run by the government or run as a nonprofit, that's where you look in terms of insurance. If insurance for medical is made a for-profit business, then of course premiums are going to have to be raised so that businesses can make a profit. That's the profit economy. That means some people aren't going to be able to afford it. And when we are talking about things like, oh, a mansion or a fur coat or the stiletto shoes, those are things that are maybe not as necessary, so that how big your house is or how fancy your shoes are or if you have the latest Nike and you just can't afford a $500 gym shoe, then you bypass a $500 gym shoe and they don't make a profit off of you. But when we're talking about health care, which is a human right and a necessity, if you don't have it, you could die. Then now we're talking about somebody making a profit off of illness and suffering. And that to me is wrong. So we want quality health care for all. It cannot have that profit incentive there. And that would probably have to be Medicare for all or the single-payer system that was rejected and keeps getting rejected. We have to persuade those in Congress and in the Senate that if you keep trying to make medical, something that people are profiting off of, then, of course, it's going to become so expensive that people who don't have the income are not going to be able to afford health care, and you cause people to die.
And let me ask you this. Do you think that the plan is that that they want the older people to die off? I know we're dealing with a system. The establishment itself, who cares very little about the poor. And, you know, some of that, you know, got to be the people's fault, too. I keep telling people it's more of us than them, and we don't listen there. See, they got us so divided up that I don't know what to tell you. I'm really stunned that their plan is to kill off people, whether we like it or not. 30 million people will be without insurance, according to them, according to their play, according to CNN. I don't know whether it's true or false. I have not saw it or not, but they all can be liars. Somebody got to tell the truth somewhere. And so far, it appears that most people, they're just lying and get things done. I would love to have you in that Senate, girl. I mean, because I know that you're a fighter, and I'm overly impressed with you and your work and the work you're doing. And the Green Party with the last election, they did extremely well. And quite as a count, I like that idea of a recount, you see. See, a lot of people say, you spend the money. But it was truly important. It shows the power of the Green Party to me. It shows that we were capable of doing something, taking this thing to a whole different level, and also get noted. We also got a lot of media coverage on that. But I'm just excited to have a person like you running for office. But, you know, people are going to have to get out and work. You know, whether they like it or not, you know, you're going up against a machine. And what you're advocating is democracy for the people, and that's what they don't want. You see, all they want is the people to keep fighting each other, destroying each other, and doing whatever they can. I just don't know what to tell you, Anita, but I will ask you one last question I do want to ask you about the justice system. You're a lawyer. You understand the justice system probably better than most people. And here's something that happened here. And I don't want to throw myself into this equation, but one of the things happened here
you are an example.
Yeah, I'm an example, but when people get funny when you want to include yourself in something like this, you know. And I'm for the people, you see. Whatever they put on me, my job is to fight back, whatever it is. But this is what I want to tell you about, ask you about. There was a commissioner here who he stole almost $1 million. For seven years, he juggled three accounts. He forged checks in three different accounts, even put out a false a forge audit that he forged one of the it's not funny, but I got to snicker about it because I would have to say, and I'm saying this, that they knew about it, but they refused doing anything about it because he was one of them. He was their friend. So he steals almost $1 million from the senior citizens. For 7 years, he forged checks out of three different accounts. And here's the thing. This audit that he did, that he forged the president of this auditing company name on there, he was never charged for that. They charged him with one little mangy count of embezzlement. And they didn't charge him for embezzlement of all the money. They only So I think it was maybe 250,000 or something, but it was close to a million. It was right at either over a million or close to a million. And but by him being a friend, they allowed him to get away with it. Tell me this: how do we allow people to do stuff on this level? Like, you being a lawyer, and you hear something like that. I mean, and a black man steal a pack of gum, he going to prison. If he just so happened to see $20 on the table and pick it up, he going to prison. And this guy steals almost $1 million, and they give him a slap on the wrist, and here I am, I went to prison for 5 counts of forgery on a recall petition with no money involved. And how do we allow these people? It doesn't make any sense.
You do realize I'm not laughing at you. I'm not laughing at you, but one of the things that is going to happen when history looks back, we're going to be able to see, because sometimes we can't see the forest because of the trees. When we are able to step back, whether through the lens of time or it might be our children looking at the history of these days, saying, it was incredibly prejudice, discrimination. It's incredible what is going on right now. That there is not more outcry and outrage, because we think we've arrived when actually we're going backwards. We're going backwards.
And you know what kind of like disturbed me is that we don't see it. We don't see stuff on this level because it doesn't involve you. When it doesn't involve you, most of the time you don't want to get involved, because the first thing that comes to your mind is that they are going to come after. I say, if I open my mouth, they're going to come after me. But they're going to come after you anyway. If it's not you, it's your children. If it's not your children, it's your children's children. This is how they operate. And this is what we have failed to see. We won't put this thing together. And this is why, you know, we don't have democracy in this country. I don't know whether we ever had it or not. But we allow people to push us around, and we don't open our mouth. See, that's why it's important to vote for you, to get out of the country. I know who you are, you know. And I know that you would go beyond the call of duty to make this thing happen. I remember when you came to visit me when I was in prison. You see, you didn't have to come, but you chose to come. And I really appreciate that. And, you know, also with the vice president, who runs for vice president, came. I'm excited about these things because these are things that promotes goodwill. People need to understand the importance of standing together and fighting together, you see. But we there, you know, how they say we have seen a few become many. And this is something that we can do. We got to understand it's more of us than them. Once we understand that, we can win this thing. And we're not going to do that until we realize who we are. But here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you 4 or 5 minutes to tell us anything your heart desires. And if you want to tell, you know, and I don't care what you say, because you're on the Pinkney to Pinkney show. And when you're on the Pinkney to Pinkney show, whatever your heart desires, you have my permission to say. And listen, I want you to come back on, because I want people to get to know you. You see, I want them to know. And I went on last week because I was up in Marquette giving a speech up there or speaking to the people. But anytime I'm away or anytime I'm going to be on, I'm going to give you. You have permission to come on and talk about your campaign so people can get to know you. And I got a lot of folks from Detroit that listen to the show. We you know, my goal is to have a half a million people by February. I'm right now we did good the week. I don't know how many they're gonna be this week, but last time I was on, we had well over 100,000 people listening, or actually listening or heard the show. I shouldn't say listening. That's the wrong word to use, I think. But they was they get a chance to go back over and listen to the show and stuff like that. And I think that's what most people do. But I'm excited to have you on here.
Yeah.
I tell you, it's a pleasure. You know, and when I think about you, I think about success. That's what I think when I see you and stuff like that. Well, listen, I don't want to eat up no more of your time. I want you to talk to me. Talk to my audience. Let them know who Anita Bell is. That's what I want them to know.
Okay. Well, a little bit about me. I am the president of the Reparations Labor Union. So that's an organization that was started here in Detroit in 2013. But the history of reparations, Detroit is one of the, I call it the heartbeat of America when it comes to reparations. So that we in Detroit have the National Coalition of Blacks for Reparations in America. That's an organization where I am now the female co-chair for the Detroit chapter and serve on the board of directors for the National NCOBRA board. So that's a big honor, and I thank God for it. One of the things that happens is that reparations means some people don't even know what that means, so I have to explain it to them. It's amazing. It's not taught in school. But I say to them, if you were ever recall hearing in your history class that when blacks were freed from slavery, they were promised 40 acres and a mule. So that promise is a promise that when Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, his vice president who took over reneged on the promise. So we lost our reparations when Martin Luther King, listen to me, when Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. It was not necessarily a law that was passed by Congress. This was part of what the president conducted through his war powers. So it was part of emancipation. A commander-in-chief can do these kinds of things. So fast forward, it's now more than 150 years later. It's a debt that has not been paid. John Conyers wrote legislation, and he is a congressman that represents the 13th Congressional District, which used to be mostly Detroit. Now it's about half of Detroit and some other parts of Wayne County. And so this is a black congressman who's about 88 years old, wrote some legislation, and he's been introducing it almost every congressional session for nearly 30 years. It hasn't gotten out of the Judiciary Committee, but this legislation is asking for implementing reparations. Also on a global scale, we have in the United Nations a international decade for people of African descent, where the working group associated with the international decade went to President Obama with their study and said, we have concluded that the United States owes African Americans reparations. That was a report given to President Obama in the last year of his presidency, but nothing has happened on it. And, of course, with Donald Trump in there, I'm saying we need to go ahead and act on something like that, something that important from the United Nations. We don't just blow off as smoke. It is important. So I want to go to the U.S. Senate, and among many things that I want to do, including making it nationwide that we legalize marijuana and stop incarcerating people, black and brown people all over the country, including that, I want to also make sure reparations is introduced through the United States Senate as a companion bill to the bill that John Conyers has been introducing in the House. That is
all
what
right.
I want to do. Now, in order for me to become a senator, I am running against Debbie Stabenow, who is the Democratic incumbent, and potentially Lena Epstein, who is representing the Republicans right now. Saying potentially Lena Epstein because, of course, there has to be the primary, and she wins the primary. When you are in politics, and you're a candidate, even though we don't do this for the money, it takes money to do it. Even though Green Party candidates don't accept corporate donations, we have to make copies just like everyone else. Running all over this state takes gas money. When I go to the gas station, I can't just smile and get a full tank of gas. Plus, my car needs to be able to go all over, those kinds of things. Some people who are not just volunteering but are actual staff, they need to be able to make a living because they have mortgages and children and so forth. So I'm asking people to go to bellforsenate.com, and Bell is spelled like a Southern Belle or like Belle Isle, B-E-L-L-E, then F-O-R. SENATE.com. Go there and donate what you can. Since I'm not taking corporate money, I am taking donations from individuals. If your program, Reverend Pinckney, reaches 100,000 people and 100,000 people decide I'm going to donate $5, I can afford $5. That means all this week I won't get a cola from the pop machine at work. If you make that sacrifice, then we can afford to do things like print literature. We can afford to do things like put gas in the car. We don't want to stop this love campaign for reparations, going against the hate from the Republicans and the fear from the Democrats. The Green Party offers love. And so if you want to support the love campaign, give to it. I'm not saying give till it hurts. Just give something, because everybody, even people in poverty, can afford to give $3, $2. They can do something.
All right. Hey, that's beautiful. And I would like for you to, I'm going to remember to mention this. If you send me an email every week, I will mention it on the show. And someone probably got a kind heart who will at least send you something. I know that you guys out there have a few dollars. Please send it to Anita Bell. And I'll put it on my website for them to do so. And we'll see what happens. But listen, I got to leave you, Anita. I want you to know I love you. And we're going to make this thing happen. So I got to say goodbye. I got to bring
you
in my good friend, Marcina. And it was an honor and a privilege having you on the show. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, and give Marcina my regards, and everyone, bellforsenate.com.
All right, now. You have a great day, and I will talk to you soon. God bless you now. And let's bring in my good friend Marcina, who's in Vegas. People show act funny when they got money. And she was in Vegas just doing what she normally do. Marcina, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing, Reverend Pinckney?
I'm doing great. You know, you was in Vegas, and you know what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas. And, you know,
I'm just going over there. Yes, I'm happy to be home.
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm happy to be home safely. Thank God for that. It was a long time on the flight, 4 hours each way, and I was in a short stay in Las Vegas. I haven't been there in 40 years, but I can say this, everything that glitters ain't gold. And when I say that, the short time I was there, I noticed obviously a lot of things have changed. There's casinos everywhere in the hotels. You know, Las Vegas is called Sin City. And, you know, I've seen a lot of things that I never would dream I would see, but I'm open-minded. There's billions of dollars floating in the Las Vegas Strip and other casinos as well, the old Fremont area, was the old casinos, Golden Nugget, and I was at the Stratosphere, which was a humongous hotel. But I was with some other friends there, so that was the hotel that they selected to stay. What I found was rather disturbing. I mean, it was people coming from all over the country and across the world. I met folks from London, Japan, Ireland, and a number of other places that they came from abroad. And what attracts them the most probably is the life, the nightlife, the casinos, and they win money, lose money, or whatever. It's just a lot of things other than gambling. I'm not a gambler, so it's a lot of things to do. But my eyes were opened widely when I also saw at the hotel where I was staying, other places, there was racial disparity in the employment area that I could see. And looking at the past, it's been like this for a very long time. The casino in Las Vegas started around the 80s. But in the 90s, there was disparity when it came down to the black employees. Here we are, we're in 2017. For what I saw, I was rather disturbed. You know, menial-type jobs that I had saw. And there was a lot more white people that were employed in the casino areas, because I did visit quite a few casinos, and I just saw that what was going on, and I was wondering, like, where are the black people? It's unfortunate, but it is what it is. And even with the maids there, basically mostly was Hispanic at that particular hotel, and these are jobs that they don't pay very much. But you think in terms of the people who own the casinos, running the casinos, they're making billions of dollars. But when you go outside the hotel and you go among the people that's poor, homeless people, it's very obvious when I see gigantic carts it was a black lady had the carts, and she had that, and one gentleman said, you know, these people are homeless. And they have nowhere to go, so they ride these carts because there's a lot of people that support folks to come to Vegas, and so they cannot stand in front of the hotels, but they have ways where they, you know, go behind the buildings or whatever, or on the sidewalk, or where people go to from one place to another. You know, they got all these hotels, and they have various souvenir stores and restaurants outside the hotel, so when they see these people, they ask for money. So it's unfortunate, but this is what goes on, not just the Strip in Las Vegas, but other areas as well. And by the way, it has nothing to do with really when it comes down to people that's homeless. There's veterans, there are white people and black people, all different nationalities. They have one denomination, and that's because they're poor, and they have been just pushed to the side. And the police don't want them to be around the casinos because it doesn't look good for these folks that come from various states to go gamble. So they have ways to take them away from the specific areas or whatever. But it's sad, but it's real, and Las Vegas has the fourth highest rate of homelessness in the United States. They plan to do something from what I was, you know, had did some research this year, where they're going to have a corridor of hope for the homeless, where they're going to be in a specific area with tents and makeshift shelters and blankets and other things that they need. And I don't know about the health care, but this is what they plan on doing, and hopefully, it's better than nothing to have them, you know, where they can go somewhere to sleep, but to just continuously move around and not have no, you know, destination to go to, and this is what's going on across this country today. They are being ignored, that, you know, who cares, it's not my problem, as you can see with the current Trump administration, where they are taking our rights away for adequate health care, education, jobs, mental health services, drugs, you know, people on drugs, and they don't have the services that they need to get off the drugs. And then they find themselves homeless because of the government. They cut down the federal funding. And back in 1996, the former president, Clinton, he said ending welfare as he knows it, because he was, you know, according to him, being pressured by the all-Republican Congress, or overall, you know, Congress. And so in August 22nd, 1996, he came up with this bill to end the welfare as he knows it and replaced it with Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Act. And that was supposed to alleviate the, you know, the food stamp program that they had at the time and a number of other programs, the cash assistance. And what happened was when this came about, people were out in the streets. They had no place to go. They could not afford the increased rent. The housing, it was a housing crisis for these people that were low income. I mean, how can you get a job when you have children and you don't have a vehicle to get there, and when you have poor bus services in your various states where you live? So that was a serious problem, and it has not eradicated the poor. It's gotten worse here in 2017. But I brought the former president's name because he set that up for failure. And what happens is that people of color end up in the prison system. Disparity between white and black, more over 2.3 million people are in prison today, mostly blacks. So you have that where they don't have a place to stay, but they have a bed ready for them in the prison system. So so I look at that, and I know I probably saw more than what other folks normally see. They seeing having fun and doing all types of things in Las Vegas. I look deeper than that when I see people that's face-to-face with me and that's out here suffering. And then now what's going on, it's getting worse. But, you know, I thank God I had an opportunity. I didn't have plans to go, but a friend of mine wanted me to go in this a few days, make a decision or whatever. That was nothing on my bucket list. But I'm real disturbed also. I got to bring this up when I was at the hotel in the public restroom or at the airport in the public restroom. There was a sign behind that restroom, a stall door, that said human trafficking, which is sex trafficking ring that has ties to California, Las Vegas, and other, you know, West Coast states. And the federal grant only allocated $370,000 to help end the human trafficking. It's billions of dollars in this business, which is very disturbing when I read that a young male was a sex slave since he was 8 years old. 8 years old. So these are things that's going on that's across the country where we got slavery, sex trafficking, that's slavery. We got in the prison system, modern-day slavery. Slavery still exists and needs to be eradicated. You know, so this is what goes on, not in just Vegas, but all over this nation. And I don't, you know, with the current administration, with Trump and all the things that he is doing to the people, particular people that's poor, the indigenous, Hispanic, black people, poor folks, poor people that voted for him, majority of white folks who voted for him. They shot their own selves in the foot, and they think we're going to be the only ones suffering. We're all suffering. It's an increase of mental illness, death, when it comes down with what Trump is doing, lashing out on us, you know, as if we don't exist. And I thought when you're president of a country that you're for all the people and not just a fraction of the people. It's very stressful to wake up in the morning to find out that you don't have a job or a place to stay or food to eat. So we have to think in terms of people who are suffering because we might be next. So I had to add that on, Reverend Pinckney, and I appreciate you having me on. We can go on and on, connected with what went on in the past when it comes down to the former presidents with the current politicians that people had so-called elected, but people are buying elections because the more money a politician has, they have more of a chance in getting in office and being there for corporations, being for these, I call them gangsters. So, and they're not for the people that put them in office. If they could only wake up in 2018 to let the people know, listen, that's in office currently now, and says, look, you're taking away my health care and you're taking away jobs and you're poisoning the water and we have toxic air. You're against environmental protection. So we need to unvote these people. Don't put them back in office. And maybe they'll start listening to the constituents that put them in office. If we come together as one, no matter what race we are, come together, we can make a difference and not be separate.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you having me on the call this evening.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that, especially talking about the children trafficking and stuff like that. I really, really appreciate you. And I will talk to you very soon. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
She had the opportunity to talk about the children trafficking. Crucial. But we don't understand it because it doesn't, in our eyesight, affect us. But it do. But let me bring in my good friend, Dave. See if he's there. He still haven't came on yet. Dave, are you there? Dave, are you there? Dave is not available at this time, but we'll move right on. Keep everything busy, and just stay focused. That's the most important thing. And understand what we're fighting against, what we stand for, and what we have to continue to do in order to make things happen. We're living in a world where people are going to have to move. They're going to have to move in the right direction. They're going to have to do the things that need to be done. And, you know, the sooner, the better. And I don't care nothing about whether a person is black, white, brown, red, yellow, whatever. I don't care. If we come together, we can defeat whatever the government or anybody else doing. And you may not notice this, but when you have a coup, it's usually the army who performs the coup. Oh, yeah, it's the army. And I have noticed that President Trump has surrounded himself with military beings. So I know you may not have noticed that, but he's surrounded himself with military people. And it's obvious, it appears to me, we're heading for destruction. And I don't know. I'm putting it all in God's hand. Let him make that decision. You know, maybe it's time for the world to end. We don't know. Maybe it's time for certain people that, you know, like maybe in the California area or something like that. You know, wherever it is, you know, we the people need to take a stand and stay focused, do what needs to be done, and there's so much we need to do, and we got to do it whether we like it or not. Is, you know, we got to make sure that we're taking a stand. Let me bring in Roz. Roz, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm just blessed to be here with you today and your guest, Reverend Pinckney. How are you today?
I'm excellent. I'm having a tremendous day. I tell you, if I could sit down here and explain my day to you, you would not believe it, because I have had a very, very exciting day, a thrilling day, and here's the thing. I see a light at the end of the tunnel. You see, I see this.
Right.
Whether people want to, I can see things is happening. Maybe things that I may not know about, but I see things that is happening, and I am very, very, very pleased to see that, you know, that things that people are taking a stand, people are standing up, people are doing stuff that they never done before. And anytime you start doing stuff, especially things you never done before, and doing it for a reason, because it's not about you no more. It's about the future. And do we have a future? I don't know. We're just going to have to wait and see what's going to happen. Because it's obvious the people with the money have a plan. They say there's too many people on this earth. That's what they said. They figure that they can eliminate. They claim that they can eliminate almost 2 billion people. I'm talking about around the world. They can eliminate 2 billion people and make this place livable. I don't know what 2 billion people or more they're going to eliminate, but whatever it is, you know, they're not going to eliminate it without a fight. And that's why they're trying to control the army. Yeah. But listen, I know that you have things that you want to talk about. Let's talk about you for a second. Let's talk about you and what happened at the school so we can tie this all in. Because I noticed in California, someone sent me an email about the state was saying that the school board refused not only to not listen to the teachers, but refused to listen to the parents because they feel they don't have to. And they're trying to turn the school over to the charter school. I don't know. Like, I don't live in California. But the guy gave me the email. He said the children, they don't want to teach the children anymore in the state of California. I don't know whether it's true or false. Maybe you can help me with that. I don't know.
Well, California is a mess. But first I want to say that we cannot win without putting God back in. As soon as we took the Lord out of everything, we started to lose. And justice was gone. And all of us, I'd like to say, need to put God back in whatever we're doing. We do it in love, in God's way. Or we're going to lose. We're going to be like China, North Korea, that kills off their people, that doesn't feed them. This is what we have. And in California here, it's only power and money running everything. And the school board is only, Los Angeles Unified School Board, is only into themselves. Teaching the students to read, to write, to do their math, I think is gone now. They just teach them whatever they want. And they're dumbing down their education. So they really can't pass to really graduate with the requirements, so they lower them. So they pass, and then they go to college. They say they can graduate. Well, a lot of them end up in gangs and go to jail, in prison. They go to college and they drop out. They took away years ago the educational classes, the music classes, and they think everybody can just go to college and whatever they're doing is just right, as they're pocketing the money. As Governor Brown and his legislators in Sacramento, with all their taxes, have just ruined this beautiful state of California. It is too expensive to live here. The laws are so unjust. My case for injured workers from the school that couldn't even call the paramedics. How can they possibly teach students when they can't call the paramedics that's free? Governor Brown, I want to convict him of the fact that it's okay with him and the state legislatures and the school, Los Angeles Unified School, to kill off injured workers. They bring in whore doctors that write unsubstantiated medical reports. They bring in judges that are making medical decisions and diagnoses that aren't even doctors. They have judges deciding. I'm certain in the back room deals have been made. Money has been pocketed. Adjusters from Sedgwick Insurance Companies from LAUSD delay. It's called delay, denials, and death. And I'd like to say that this single-payer insurance that a lot of people are interested in, that's what it's going to end up being with the death panels. They're going to delay.
Wow.
They think, oh, it's wonderful. I'm paying for it, so I'm going to get it. They don't have that many doctors. Doctors are dropping out of the field, but they're going to delay your medical. And if you're older, they're not going to give you what you really need, and you're going to die. My case is 17 years old. They brought in Dr. John Stahlberg from Santa Monica. He made a bogus medical report that he admitted under oath. The school, the judge gave him the medical diagnosis, so they wouldn't have to pay me. He said I needed help at the same time in his deposition. All of a sudden, it's 17 years later, and they have decided to give me 9 doctors to treat all my physical injuries from being sprayed in my face from toxic chemicals by a student who could care less about being in school, a gangbanger, didn't even care. Here's this wonderful free education, and now it isn't so free and it isn't so wonderful here in California. But the justice, there is no justice here for anybody. And it is so criminal. Dr. John Stahlberg lost his medical license in New York. He came here, and he is writing these workers' comp medical reports. $16,770 to say in my medical report that I had a mental condition that he never wrote in the previous 4 reports or 3 depositions they did on him. Killing off people, yes. The state of California is now in the business of killing off people. Marcina was talking about the poor and the homeless. They have money for the poor and the homeless in the bank here in Los Angeles, but they keep asking to have these measures on the ballot to vote for. So we all vote for it to give more money for them. I haven't seen them do anything for the poor and homeless. They decide they need to count the poor and the homeless. Can't you just do something for them? You have plenty of money. No, they can't do that. And you're right, there's more of us than them. And people say they can't go to the town hall meetings to speak up because they don't like the elected official. You must go. You must go. You must speak up. They have to know that you are out there. Things will not change. We have to take back our life. This is the end. God has been put out. God needs to come back in order to save us and to just deal in love for everyone. There shouldn't be a poor homeless person on the street. Every child should be getting the basics, no matter what color they are. How hard is that? How expensive could that possibly be to teach them the ABCs? It's not that expensive. It's only expensive, all these things, classes that they think of so they can pocket the money in the back room. It's so
absolutely
corrupt.
Listen, Roz, that's, you know, that's really, really beautiful. And I want to tell you, I really appreciate you. We're about to run out of time. I was expecting Dave to come on. But
I'm not Dave.
Never came
not
on. Yeah, yeah, I know. I expected him to come on, but unfortunately he did not. You know, usually when a person says they want to be on, I usually give them time, and I want them to come on, and he had gave me a number that he was going to be there for, so I could be there. But anyhow, that's not important, Roz. What's important now, I'm hoping that things work out for you. And I just want to say this to everybody so people can understand. It's crucial that we take a stand and stand up for what's right. If it's not right, don't stand up for it. If it's not the right thing to do, don't stand up for it. What we want is justice. Justice for all. I don't care about whether you're black, I don't care if you're white, I don't care if you're brown, I don't care if you're yellow, I don't care if you're red, or whatever color you want to be. You know, I don't care nothing about that. All I care about, you being a human being. You being a human being who stands for what's right and stand up for the people. Because it's me today and you tomorrow. You have to learn to take a stand. Until you do, they're going to continue doing the same thing that they've been doing. I'm expecting the war to break out here in the United States. I'm expecting this government to do anything. He got his followers. He got them. But it's still more of us than them. We just have to get ready mentally and deal with this. And this is something we can do. On that note, I will not have a show next Sunday. I will not have a show next Sunday. But the following Sunday, I will. And I want to thank everybody for listening in. I know that people are actually listening now more than ever before, and I'm excited. I'm excited and I'm thrilled. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a nice day.